My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Let's make sure that everything is up and running. And we'll get the volume up on that. And one more sound setting over here. Oh, yeah, that's got to come up a little bit. All right, things are going to get a little hot for just a minute, folks. So hang tight while I get this squared away. Well, my apologies. Last week I had a bit of a medical issue come up, and it required me to take some time away, but doing better, feeling better. Keep me in your prayers, and we're here, and we're off and running, and I think we're gonna have a good week. I've got a great program lined up for you today. Biff Zeppi, SHR Media, will be with us at the bottom of hour number two. And I am now doing a two-hour program. So look forward to doing that, other than Wednesdays, when I'll have David Chistokas on with me early. But otherwise, we'll be doing a two-hour show a day. Biff Zeppi will be with me. We'll be talking about the violence going on in D.C. and how that is really spread across the country. Steve Bolton will be with me today out of Chicago. We'll be talking about what's going on there. And then also right after at the bottom of this hour, Joseph, let me pronunciate the name correctly, Joseph Imperatrice will be with me. He is the founder of Blue Lives Matter New York City, and we'll be talking about what's happening in New York City. So we'll be all across the country today. But right now, we're going to go international, and I want to welcome my good friend from the Center for Security Policy, Dr. David Wormser. Dr. Wormser, welcome. Good to have you.
It's great to be here, as usual, and an honor.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, the last time we talked, you were just getting back from Israel.
Yeah.
There's been some things that happened, I guess, kind of over the weekend. And what I'm referencing is that last message that I sent you regarding BRICS and the announcement by Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Iran, which is insane to me, because these are centuries-long enemies. Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Iran have been enemies for forever, and now all of a sudden they are talking about, and supposedly this goes into effect starting in January.
Yeah, what we're seeing here is the consequences, the wages of a hostile administration, U.S. administration, to our allies. You know, you don't need to look to the Middle East. You can look more closely. You look at Colombia and Brazil and Chile, all countries that were pro-American, run by governments that have long been associated with us in the Cold War against the Soviet Union and then against some of our other enemies like Venezuela. And suddenly now the administration has been hostile to them for 2-3 years. And lo and behold, Colombia, Brazil, and Chile turn communist. In fact, Colombia is narco-communist. It's a real dangerous regime that's emerged in Colombia, and the other two are communist. They may not be narco-communist, but I'm sure that the narco-communists are having fun there. So you don't need to look very far to see what the policy is. So in the Middle East, we've turned on Israel, and we've become very nasty to the Israelis. We've turned on the Saudis and have tried to topple their regime. We're also now turning against the Egyptians and the UAE. So they're signaling us, they prefer to be our ally, but they're signaling us that there is this other block of nations out there that they're willing to join because they have no choice. China itself is a kind of a lackluster leader of that block, because right now its economy really doesn't seem to be doing very well. There seems to be some issues in China. But that said, it's still the antipode, if you want to say to the United States, we have other options, that's the way to say it. And that's what Saudi Arabia is doing. And we've been very hostile to Saudi Arabia. Just this week, we decided to start investigating their sovereign wealth fund. This goes back to all the progressive democratic hatred for Saudi Arabia that surrounded their murder of a journalist who wasn't really a journalist, Adnan Khashoggi. He worked for the Washington Post, was a great friend of these progressives. And he was organizing Islamist attempts to destabilize the Saudi regime. He was working for the Turks and closely with the Turks. And the Saudis knocked them off, which is in Middle East politics, it's not so unusual. What happened is that the progressives here seized on that about 4 or 5 years ago, and they have been trying relentlessly to bring the Saudi regime down. It's really cover for a larger progressive effort to bring our friends down. We're doing the same in Egypt, which is at peace with Israel and has been an ally of the United States since the mid-70s. And they're trying to bring the regime down there, too. And it's working because the progressives have control over our foreign policy. And last week, while we were on one side beginning to investigate and subpoena in Congress the foreign sovereign wealth fund of Saudi Arabia, we also started cutting aid to Egypt because of their, quote, human rights abuses. So this regime is hostile. This administration is hostile to all these pro-American regimes, and many of them, if they have an option of turning to the Chinese, are turning to the Chinese.
Or wherever else whatever other alliances they need to make or have to make in order to be able to continue to survive, they're left with virtually no alternative. Here's what's insane to me, David, as I look at this. You know, I mean it's either absolute ineptitude on the part of the leadership that's running things, or there is a plan, and it would fall in line with what Obama threatened that he wanted to do, which was to turn the United States of America into a third world country. And if you're trying to take a superpower, a nation like the United States, and turn it into a third world country, and I have to wonder if this isn't where, you know, I know that there are a lot of conservatives that are saying, fine, hey, you know, we don't need any of these guys. We'll be, you know, isolationists. But are we not then playing into the hands of the very issues that are being created by an administration that seems bent on our destruction?
Yeah, look, I mean, let's say this as clearly as we can. These Marxists, many of whom populate our foreign policy leadership right now, will not forgive the United States for winning the Cold War. And they're trying to undo it. They're going after the most defined allies of the Cold War and destroying them and trying to destroy them. They have never reconciled with the Reagan administration and what happened following the Reagan administration, which was the victory of the Cold War. So this is who we're dealing with. Isolationism is a different issue. I can deal with that. I understand Americans being exhausted. It's unfortunately, we are the superpower that upholds the structure of the world upon which our way of life right now is anchored. So I think an ostrich politics where you bury your head in the sand isn't a viable strategy for foreign policy right now. And that's my problem ultimately with the isolationist view. But I don't doubt that they're doing it out of the best of intentions because they want to come home, circle the wagons, and repair what is really going very wrong within the United States. So I understand their patriotism and don't doubt it. With these guys, the progressives who are running our foreign policy right now, they hate America. They are Marxists at their core, and they have never reconciled with America's victory in the Cold War, and they want to reverse it. And so they're going ally by ally by ally and destroying them.
So now when we look back at the reforms and the issues that are happening, because there's no question, we have huge issues here at home, and they need to be addressed. We need to fix the problems that we have. I mean, one of the big problems that we have, if I'm not mistaken, I saw an article while I was out about lithium, and that apparently one of the largest lithium finds in history has just been located right here in the United States.
Yeah, on the border of Idaho and California. I don't know how California is going to deal with it with their environmental laws and so forth. But yeah, it's the largest lithium deposit in the world. And, you know, one of the big things that is always such a head scratcher with the environmental movement is that it's sort of very much virtue signaling. You buy an electric car, your car doesn't emit any emissions as it's driving down the road. But that doesn't mean your car is truly zero emissions. First of all, somebody's got to produce the electricity. So you got to figure out how the electricity is produced. As we're seeing with the windmills out at sea and the windmills on land with birds, the ones out at sea with whales and dolphins and so forth, there's tremendous environmental impacts. Same with other forms of energy. A car needs energy to run. Energy produces some consequences. This idea that since my car is an enclosed thing that doesn't produce anything, I'm great, and you ignore the down road. The second thing is what goes into the car, building all those facilities. But more importantly, the batteries in those cars.
Right.
You cannot run it without lithium. You cannot run it without cobalt, phosphates, etc. Phosphates, there may be some more environmentally sound ways of producing it, but lithium is a big environmental impact. Number one, a big environmental impact, but two, it makes us depend. All these battery, except there might be a development in that with a mine in Norway, but almost all of these battery chemicals are dominated by the Chinese and Russians right now strategically. Somebody's got to really start paying attention to our supply chain and our strategic critical raw material storage issues and our rare earth storage.
Right. The essential rare earth issue that we have allowed to be eroded, that began more or less with Clinton. And since Clinton, we've basically given away our dominance in that arena, and that's part of the big reason why we no longer can manufacture. It's why we're no longer, the tech manufacturing giant that we once were.
Yeah, and we're cutting off all money to our U.S. Bureau of Mines. U.S. Bureau of Mines were those who funded a lot of graduate programs in geology that were useful for both conventional energy research, that is gas, oil, and non-conventional lithium, et cetera. So when we cut off that money, our school of mines in the country, graduate schools of mines, are closing across the board. China, just in the last year, opened up 30 new schools of mining. So we are not only losing the mines and losing the stockpiles, we're losing the capability, the know-how, so that even if tomorrow we decide to turn the spigot back on and become a superpower, we're going to have a problem with know-how. And this is very – we've sold off our stockpiles. Take titanium, for example. We have zero stockpile in titanium. And when you talk to people in the Pentagon – and by the way, these are military stockpiles. We don't even have any civilian stockpile. When you talk to people in the military, they say, yeah, well, we're instituting a program of recycling titanium. This is going to account for maybe 3-5% of our defense needs for titanium at best. And where's the titanium? Well, they'll tell you 90% comes from Japan, of titanium sponge. This is true. 90% comes from Japan. That's as far as they'll look. Japan doesn't produce any titanium. I mean, they produce titanium sponge from titanium, but they don't have any titanium. They get it from Madagascar, and the mines are owned by China. So 90% of our titanium used by our defense industries comes from China. And we've liquidated under the Obama administration, we liquidated our strategic reserve stockpiles. And now, everybody knows that we're doing it in oil. We sold off all our oil, one, because the government could balance the budget a little better, but two, to bring down oil prices under Biden while he cut off domestic supply. These are shell games, but we're going to pay for it in supply chain issues very soon, especially if there's conflict. Great powers can't have such vulnerable supplies.
Well, that's one of the, I mean, anybody who understands, you know, supply chain understands that if you're dependent on receiving it, wherever it's coming from, then the person who's sending it to you has all the power.
Yeah.
And if you're not creating your own, I mean, it's one of the reasons, you know, I think about McDonald's, right? It's one of the reasons why McDonald's went into farming and they went into raising their own cattle, because they said, you know, we're tired of the fluctuation in meat prices. We're tired of the fluctuation in the prices of our product that we're serving. And so we're going to start producing our own product. And I know people, you know, have done whatever documentaries or whatever on that. I don't know where it went. I know that back in the 70s when I worked for McDonald's, that you know, we actually saw where they produced and how they produced, and it was all produced from actual farms and animals and actual potato farms and so on. Nonetheless, the point being that if you're dependent on somebody else as your supply chain, then your own ability to price things and your own ability to supply is dependent on what you get. And the United States used to be the center for producing all of these things. And that, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we were still at the top of the supply heap. And now we're more like a third world country when it comes to whether it's wood or metal or circuitry and in any of those. I mean, I remember when Texas Instruments was the top of the food chain. And they, you know, to try to start a Texas Instruments today and be the top of the food chain, I hope maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I don't think that would be possible predicated on the lack of raw materials.
I agree. Look, in World War II, the American military, soldier by soldier, was the greatest in the world. And to give all credit to our soldiers, they were the most motivated, intelligent, innovative and determined soldiers that were ever produced on the face of the earth.
Yep.
But that shouldn't detract from the immense superiority of American logistics and supply. We won that war also on logistics and supply. And there were none in the world, nobody, no peer in the world who was as good in that as we were. And now what you're seeing is that we're losing that knowledge, or worse, we don't care that we don't anymore have control and dominance over our own supply chain.
Well, we had the issue is that we had the resources, and you know, one of the attributes of those great American soldiers was an incredible education system that we had here in the United States as well. Okay, we had a tremendous education system that they came out of, and I'm talking about just general, you know, K through 12 education type system. We had a great education system, and we've lost that. You know, I was looking over the.
Oh, we have a good indoctrination system now.
Oh,
it's not an education system.
Well,
anymore.
No, absolutely. Well, you know, I was looking at somebody had put a tweet out regarding the number of indictments of Republicans versus the number of indictments of Democrats over the last, I think it was 50 years. And touting how, you know, that just shows you how corrupt the Republicans are. And so I started going back and looking at, you know, from 1955 to present, who were the presidents, who was in charge of the House and who was in charge of the Senate. And what I discovered is that for, let me see if I can get, okay, so for 32 years, Democrats dominated the House.
Yes.
32 years.
Until 94.
15 years, Republicans have dominated the House. on the Senate side, you had, let's see, 6, 14, 16, so 18 years of Senate run, Democrats running the Senate, and then only 9 years with the Republicans. Yeah. Now, in total of all of that, 18 years was all Democrat, President, House, and Senate since 1955. The difference between the Republicans and the Democrats was when the Democrats had full control, they completely and totally instituted their agendas, 100%. When it was Democrat House, Republican Senate, and a mixture of presidents, the Democrats still got the majority of what they wanted accomplished.
Yes.
And yes, the indictments that took place were, for the most part, political in nature. In other words, they targeted Republicans that would not go along with the program. And not only did the Democrats go after them, but the Democrats along with Republicans, much as what we just saw with the Attorney General Ken Paxton here in Texas, where you had Dade Fallon come out, the drunk Speaker of the House, come out and say basically that the Republican Senate had not done their job, that Dan Patrick had been biased in his handling of the affair, and that there was going to be a price to pay. He threatened that there's going to be a price to pay, saying it's not over.
For anybody who has a moment for about 10 minutes, they should look at Dan Patrick's speech. He's the lieutenant governor,
yep,
of Texas. He gave a brilliant speech at the end of the Paxton trial when they acquitted the Attorney General Paxton,
yep,
who was impeached and so forth. So, and he goes very systematically through what went wrong on the House side and what the Democrats did, how political it was, how shoddy it was, how really unprofessional it was. And in the spirit of trying to lay down ground rules for the future, so that this spectacle doesn't repeat itself, Dan Patrick worked very hard with Democrats and Republicans in the state Senate to create a rules that govern how these impeachments should be handled. And it was a thorough piece of work, but the Democrats in the House and the leader of the House, the guy you just mentioned, these had no intention of operating according to any professional rules.
Right.
This was a political hack job, political hack job, and resulted, yeah, in the first impeachment in 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a disgusting spectacle. And what was even more disgusting was that you still had some Republicans that voted and you know, it's funny when they say, oh, they voted along party lines. Yep, where's the finger pointing at the Democrats? Because the Democrats all voted to impeach him in spite of the fact that there was no evidence to do so.
And they admitted there was no evidence.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. All right. We got to jump. Hey, Dr. David, thank you so much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it. We'll keep an eye on what's happening with regards to the BRICS situation, because I think that could have really devastating impacts on us regarding the petrodollar. We'll get into that a little more on the next round and continue to watch what's happening in Israel. And a happy Rosh Hashanah to you, sir.
You too. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. We will be back with more. Joseph Imperatrice will be with us right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You are listening to and watching the Chosen Generation Radio Show here on TECN-TV and across our wonderful radio networks as well. Back with more coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clan Slight. When you have different things like cancer, and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being with us. I do know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for being with us. You can catch more at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome, he is the founder of Blue Lives Matter, NYC.org. That's the website. Blue Lives Matter, NYC.org. Joseph Imperatrice is with us. Did I say that right, Joseph?
Yes, sir, you did. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Well, good morning, Joseph. Welcome. Good to have you with me.
Thanks for having me, Pastor.
New York City. My goodness. Boy, that has got to be a challenging place to be these days.
It's very difficult. I love it. It should be the best place on earth.
Sure.
Financial capital of the world. And Mayor de Blasio single-handedly messed it up. And we see we're trying to recoup since the days of him. But it hasn't been easy. But we got to stay positive. We got to keep moving forward.
So talk to me about the issues of crime that are taking place there, because that's a major concern for not just people in New York, but I think people across the country. You know, I moved from California to Texas. My wife is a Texan, and I'd lived here before, but we were out in California in the Central Valley for 18 years fighting that fight out there until it just got to the place where we said, you know what, we can't move this anymore. We just can't move it anymore. But California and New York are the bookends that keep trying to squash the freedoms and liberties that Texas has been trying to uphold and represent. So talk to me about, you know, what that means, what New York City's situation means to New Yorkers, and then what it potentially means to other people across the country.
Well, I've always said it, people watch New York and the dominoes will fall across this nation if done correctly. Problem is we have Governor Hochul and Governor Newsom, and I think, that are in competition with each other to see who could mess up their states more than the other. The issue hasn't been the police departments. Police departments all over this nation are going out there and they're doing their job. The problem is our local officials, our politicians, and even worse is our district attorneys. My personal opinion, district attorneys and sheriffs, they should not have a political affiliation whatsoever. They need to enforce the law as is, unbiased, and we haven't seen that. We see that with Alvin Bragg. We see that with other radical left-leaning district attorneys. We have to go out there and go back to the days where criminals were held accountable. You cannot go out there and steal and rob. And this isn't even a political issue. You know, I was thinking about this on the ride over this morning. This is stuff that you learn when you're practicing your faith, what your religion is. Treat your neighbor as yourself. Go forward and do right by the person next to you. And we've gotten away from that. If we can get away from the politics and forget about Democrat and Republican and figure out right and wrong, we're actually going to get a little bit of a headway. But we also need somebody like Rudy Giuliani. We don't need another Rudy. We need somebody that's going to make their own name, but someone that's willing to go out there and say my decisions might not be popular, but at the end of the day, I'm doing it to try to save lives, to try to make your tomorrow better than your yesterday. That's what we need.
Now, one of the other things that's thrown into this mix has been the heavy flow of illegal immigrants that are coming in as well. And they create, and I've talked with Mark Morgan and Tom Homan about this as well. They create their own, you know, subculture enclave because they're there. They know they're there illegally. Many of them do have cartel affiliates, but those that don't, that are just trying to make a living, and I get all of that. But the problem is that they can't turn to law enforcement and bring law into the neighborhood. And so now you have these conclaves of neighborhoods that are really living under the thumb of illegal activities, and there's no one there to put that in check.
I can't say that I'm mad. I'm actually more upset and more sad because after 9/11, we just celebrated the 22-year anniversary.
Yep.
After those terrible terrorist attacks, we had the most secure nation on this planet. We learned from our mistakes. We put people on terrorist watch lists. We went out there and we did surveillance, and we tried to prevent that from ever happening again. And 22 years later, we're opening up our floodgates to let people into this country that we don't know where they're coming from, what their intentions are, or what they're capable of.
Right.
Now, I am all for immigration. 1,000% immigration the legal way, which made this country so great, is what we were founded on. But to just let migrants run across a border so that we can, you know, I hate to say it, one day have to deal with another 9/11, whether it's in New York City or some other big state of ours.
Right.
It's not fair. It's not right. And we have to get to the root of the problem. I hate, once again, speaking about politics, but Democrats like to create problems and then they point their finger and blame somebody else for what they created. It's sure. Got to stop. We need people with common sense, people that are willing to stand up for what is right and end this issue, because if we don't end it soon, we're going to see thousands upon thousands of people killed because of the people with bad intentions that want to hurt our country.
Well, and I think people don't realize, too, you know, when the FBI has, and they have faltered tremendously, and this has been going on for quite some time. This isn't a brand new phenomenon. And as someone in law enforcement, I know you're well aware of of the failures of the FBI. But the NYPD created its own anti-terrorism unit after 9/11, and that unit has been instrumental in stopping terrorism all across the country, not just in New York, but all across the country, really kind of stepping into the gap that was created when the FBI started to falter. Can you talk to me? So you're speaking, being a part of that community as someone who really understands the dangers that we are in. Talk to me a little more about that, if you would.
Well, the training after 9/11 was absolutely incredible. The Cobra training, we would have a hazmat training in a nutshell, right? And we had the best training in the world. Well, over the decades, the last two decades, it's kind of fallen by the wayside. These new guys aren't getting trained that way. We got to go back to it. You know, we're going to have a very big issue if we don't go back to the fundamentals of this. We have to start training as if a terrorist attack could happen again, which at some point it's going to. And I don't see that happening as much as it should all across this nation. I think we bring back some people like Tom Holman, right, who have seen it firsthand, who actually train our new police officers on the dangers and the realities of what could happen. We bring back people like Bernard Kerrigan, people behind the scenes that know firsthand how terrible it could be and what we need to do to combat it. We're not doing that. Those surveillance teams standing outside, and I'm not just, you know, saying a certain religion, but we would sit outside certain places and watch people go in and out, see what their intentions were. We have to go back to
absolutely
that. We're failing, and we're failing bad.
Well, you know, one of the things that people don't realize, and I've highlighted this with Robert Spencer here on my program a number of times, is there is a Muslim police department in Brooklyn. There are patrol cars that have dressed themselves up to look like New York police cars that are actually Muslim police cars attempting to enforce Sharia law in certain neighborhoods. These kinds of activities are, I mean, they're certainly not constitutional, and yet they, you know, they're given a pass.
Well, we've seen with COVID, right? These politicians like to say public safety, right? Public health. Well, let's pull that card again when it comes to saving our Americans. Let's go out there again and enforce the laws that need to be. Let's go out there and interrogate the people that we believe are up to bad things. Let's start doing more investigations to see who's buying pipe bombs and bomb-making material and sit them down and say, why are you doing this? Who are you following? What cult do you belong to? And speak to us, and let's start gaining intel again. We've fallen. We have to get away from this either Me Too movement or the I'm afraid to offend somebody. It doesn't matter, because when people get killed, you're not offending nobody. You're hurting families. Sure. We have to stop with the nonsense. We have to get that hard-nosed policing back, that hard-nosed intel back, which we've lost. This is America. Our founding fathers lost their lives to make America so great. You know, Ellis Island, you know, New York City, if I was a politician, that'd be one of my things that I'd really preach about. This Ellis Island meant so much to so many people that came with nothing, came with a knapsack, left their family behind for years to do it the right way, to work three or four jobs, and to allow people to walk into this country and give them free housing, free phone, free food. We're making a mockery of all the individuals from all different backgrounds, all different religions that did it the right way. Yeah. We have to go back to what this country was founded on, what New York City was founded on, and we're going to win. We're finally going to get going in the right direction that should be going. But this country, this administration, it's a mockery of what so many people have worked so hard for and have actually lost their lives over.
It's also, I'd like to talk for just a minute too. You know, I know out on in the Long Island area, there was a huge criminal faction, and MS-13 had taken a pretty strong hold out there. President Trump, when he came into office, he initiated a task force through, I believe it was ICE, but it initiated a task force, and they went in and they broke that up, and they got those people finally cleaned out of there, and those merchants were able to go back and start doing business again. But as MS-13 was leaving, they said, as soon as this new administration is gone, we're coming back. Have you seen that?
I've seen a lot of issues happening, you know, crime-wise, whether it's cyber You know, people going after when I first came on, I've been on for 18 years. It was more the Bloods, the Crips, the Latin Kings. You know, they go out there, they're big into violence. And don't get me wrong, we have a lot of violence, but it's because the young kids think they're gangbangers and never had police interaction. They're more cyber and stealing with the credit card information and things like that. But you do have groups like MS-13 and people that will go out there and murder. Look at the individual who was the illegal immigrant who just recently broke out of jail. Right. He killed one person, then ended up killing his girlfriend. And thank God they found him.
Yeah.
But that's just one story. Just imagine how many others are going out there and doing that. You know, MS-13, the story you were speaking of, I think the most prominent one was when they went, I believe it was one or two females that they killed. They didn't just kill. They butchered with knives. You know, this wasn't one shot to the head and done.
Right.
So these are very vicious people. These cartels are all about making their money. So they want to set the precedents. And we have to go out there. And my personal opinion is there's no reason for the United States of America to not want to work with agencies like ICE. Those brave officers every day that go into, I believe it's called the Nest. You know, they go into these homes and these places and they risk their lives to take the worst of the worst from around the globe back to justice and get them deported. We need to work with all federal, state, and local agencies to clean up this country, because if we don't do it soon, I'm telling you, from my experience, it's going to be the worst thing that we've ever seen happen to this country, and we can't let it get to that point.
One of the other things, I'm going to turn the topic for just a minute to the issue of parents, because, you know, one of the other problems that I think we're having with this administration is, you know, you talk about going in and cleaning out the bad guys, which I completely agree with. Unfortunately, this administration has decided that the bad guys are the guys that I would think would be, you know, the good guys, right? The patriots, the ones that show up at the rallies and say, hey, you know, we're here for peace. We're speaking peacefully, but we're speaking out and we're saying what you're doing is wrong and how this is being handled is wrong. How do we address that particular issue, and in particular for law enforcement? Because a lot of times we're seeing law enforcement officers are being used for the purposes of carrying out policies that seem to be against parents showing up at school board meetings and parents showing up to, you know, to have a conversation about why did you hide and convince my daughter that she's a boy and you're trying to take her off to get her body parts chopped off. How do we address that?
I'm so glad you hit this topic, because I've been saying for the last couple of years, you give the power back to the parents. There's a very big difference between abuse, right? A parent abusing their kid, and discipline. We need to have parents discipline their kids in their home, because if they're going to disrespect their parents, what do you think they're going to do when they leave the home? Parents need to be parents. When we were younger, you know, the first thing that the scariest words you'd say or hear someone say is your mother. Wait till your father comes home and you hid under your bed. You did chores that
come
you didn't
on.
Even know you had chores yes. for. You know, you made mom feel no problem, mom. You know, I got you. But that's what we need. We need parents to be parents. We yep. need discipline.
Yep.
You know, I know someone might say, oh, how can you say it? You need to bring back ass whoopings in the household. You need the parents to be able to smack your kid upside the head and say, no, you're not doing that. No, you're going to watch your mouth. No, you have responsibilities. No, you're going to work very hard and not expect to have your hand out. Yeah. We need to allow parents to be parents, and you're going to see a whole different regime of respect from this generation, which, unfortunately, there is no respect, because the parents are so afraid to offend their child, to have their child go to school and tell a guidance counselor, mommy or daddy left this little mark on me, and then they go after the parents, which shouldn't
yeah.
be the case.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. If a parent is physically beating their child, that is a completely different story. That's criminal. That's negligent. And they have to be held accountable. But discipline, that's what we need. Give the parents the power to be parents and discipline their children.
Well, and there is that line. Look, I used to take business trips, and my wife would call me, and she'd say, honey, you know, this one's out of order, and I'm going to put you on the phone with them. And I'd get on the phone, and they'd go to tears. It was like, oh, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Hey, that was because Dad didn't spare the rod. When I would come home, if they did what they weren't supposed to do, they got spanked. I mean, straight yes. up, they got disciplined and they got spanked. And you know, it's interesting, because now, you know, those and this is what's being programmed. It's, well, if your dad did that, then you're now mentally and emotionally damaged. Well, no, you're really not. Okay, you learned the difference between right and wrong, but you can buy that if you want to buy that and then attempt to use that. But it's really sad because that's the shift that's happened, Joseph.
You know what I remember, and your generation was even better at this than my generation, right? When someone did something really off the wall, you'd look them in the face and say, no, that's not right. We're not doing that. And you'd walk away. You call them a moron or whatever, but that was it.
Right.
And it ended there.
Yeah.
Now it's, Pastor, but why do you feel that way? Explain to me. No, enough is enough. We got to get back to the what made this country so great? What made the nucleus of a family so great? And we have to have discipline. At the end of the day, if something is off the wall, you end it there. You cut the head off the snake, and guess what? It's better. When you have cancer, the first thing they do is try to remove it and then have treatment. You don't let it grow because it takes over and you end up dying.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
That's what's happening with society. We're letting the evil, we're letting the cancers grip every aspect of life, and now we're looking at this big tumor and saying, holy crap, how do we get rid of it? You go back to cutting it out when you can cut it out, and then you forward the treatment from there. That's what we got to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, this issue of these people that are going in and you know, well, you can steal up to $900 worth of merchandise. You can do what? I mean, it is mind blowing to me. And then they expect, well, you know, corporate greed. They, you know, these corporations, they can handle all those losses, and insurance companies. Where do these people think that it ends? That's why you have businesses now that are just shutting down. They're closing their doors. They're saying, hey, okay, well, you know, we're just not going to do business in that neighborhood anymore. We're done. And now you've got people, law-abiding people, who live in those neighborhoods that have to travel 45 minutes to an hour to try to find the products they need to survive. And then as they're on their way home with those products in their vehicles, they get carjacked. I mean, it's this horrific cycle. And like you said, you have to stop it at a point and say, no, this is wrong. And justice is going to have to be brought to bear.
Well, you know, when you go into like a CVS or a pharmacy and you have things you can't even get merchandise out of, the store is proving that we have a problem. People are stealing things. That's number one. Then you hire security guards, but then you tell your security guards, don't do anything. Don't stop nobody. So what is the point of that? So we know there's a problem, but because you're afraid that some so-called activist who is normally trying to stick up for the wrong side of things is going to make a problem, you'd rather cower down and make society worse than what it is. We got to stop. The world is upside down. It's on its head. You know, when do people wake up? And once again, this nonsense with Democrat and Republican has to go out the window. It's not working. It's not. At the end of the day, you know, I believe with both sides are right and wrong. At the end of the day, let's get back to what is right and what is wrong. If there's a problem that's wrong, we have to address it. It's that simple. But we cannot allow it to continue. My child is 5 years old. Because of what's going on in the world, I have to worry that my son is never going to be able to buy a home, buy a car, own anything in his name,
right?
Because society doesn't want anybody to think outside the box.
Right.
They want them to rely on them. That is a problem. The greatest, both Democrat and Republican politicians have said, government cannot have overreach. You know, it's supposed to be we the people. Let's go back to it. Why are we allowing things to get so insane? You know, bring God back into the homes, bring hard work, and bring principles back, and we will get on track. But we need people from all sides of the aisle to say, you know what, we've had enough. We've let it get out of the way. You know, we thought that was the right thing, admit it was wrong, and let's move forward.
Well, and I think the other piece to this at the end of the day is we've got to value life in general.
Yes, sir.
Right. You know, and life is, you know, the pursuit of liberty and the ability to be able to make a living and take care of your family and grow your family and see them grow up and be happy for your neighbor when they're successful and they be happy for you when you're successful. These are all those kinds of principles. And again, like you said, if we don't get back to God as that foundation, because that's what our founder said. I mean, John Adams said, our Constitution is fit only for a moral people. As a law enforcement officer, you can only enforce laws. Law-abiding people are the ones that follow the laws. Period, end of story. The criminals are never going to follow the laws. They don't. And if they don't believe there's any consequences, then they take advantage of you, the law enforcement officer, as well as the law-abiding citizen. And it becomes dangerous for both.
What we have to do also is we have to tell people, my brother and my sister, they're a little younger than me, right? So recently I had to tell them, you know, you almost have to tell somebody when they're not good, like in sports, right? You kind of have to tell them you suck. Why do you do that? Because then they walk away saying, Joey's wrong. I'm going to prove to him that I am good. And it raises their level. It makes them show that they're going to work to their potential. We have to stop babying people. Stop trying to give a trophy out to things. We have to hold people accountable to the point that you're better, that the potential inside of you can be reached, but you have to give the effort. Stop patting people on the back. Stop giving people tissues. And let's get back to making everything around us better instead of making it worse.
Yeah, be honest with them. Just give them an honest assessment and say, you know what, you can improve in this. You're not running the route. You're not at your mark. You're not where you're supposed to be. When the ball shows up, you got to be there, or you're not going to be catching it. And we can't move down the field if you're not showing up and being in the right spot at the right time. And that's the same thing with all of life. You have a responsibility to uphold your side of the deal and you know, one of the commencement addresses that was given by Whitmore was basically saying the purpose of your education is to make you a better citizen of this republic. That's the purpose of it. And we don't hear that anymore because everybody's ashamed now. Well, I'm ashamed to be American. I'm ashamed of what America stands. America's this and America, everything's bad, bad, bad. No, America is the greatest nation on earth. And it has the greatest constitution of any country. And its rights are for the people. And if we will just live up to that, I think we can turn this thing around. But like you said, we've got to get God back into the center of things again, and that's going to be a real blessing to our law enforcement as well, because then they're going to be able to be more about helping people than they are about trying to, I don't know, punish people.
In today's day and age, the most important thing that I can say is treat your neighbor as yourself and work together for a common outcome. We do that. You know, I say it all the time. It's power in numbers. The more people you have thinking the same and working to the same goal, you're going to have a great outcome. It's people when they run in different directions and don't know where they're going, where chaos happens. So come together, work together. And once again, treat each other the right way. Let's get back to the values. And I can promise that in any republic, in any country, things are going to get better.
Here, here. Blue Lives Matter NYC.org. Blue Lives Matter NYC.org. Get connected with Joseph. They have a podcast as well that you can listen to where they bring up the issues that are happening and what's going on, specifically in New York City, but across the country as well. And encourage you to check that out. Again, Blue Lives Matter NYC.org. Joseph, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
It was an honor. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio on the other side. Steve Bolton joins us. We're going to shift our attention to Chicago coming up right after this brief break. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest."